Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we thank you for being our good and our great shepherd. Thank you for the privilege of being able to know you, to be able to walk with you. Thank you for the opportunity to follow you as our great, good and great shepherd. Thank you for the opportunity also you give us of being able to be vessels who will share the gospel and can share the gospel every day of our lives, and also who can help others grow up in their faith and become faithful disciples as well. Help us to keep in mind our priorities as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You told us to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Guide us, Lord, in living out that truth and that commandment every day of our lives according to your perfect will, and give us wisdom and grace to do it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson, and he's going to share a word of prayer with us as we get started this today.
Father, we're thankful to know that we have the assurance that goodness and mercy will follow us every day of our lives, and that the home we have awaiting us beyond this wicked earth, God, you are so kind to us. We thank you for showing us mercy, your loving kindness, stooping down to love sinners like us. We pray for the listening family, Father, that you would encourage them, that you would speak to them through this broadcast today, that they would cling to your truth and apply it to their lives and run with it in a way that brings you much honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you for being a part of our listening family. We want to continue to remind you that we do have coming up in just a few weeks our Spring Share-a-thon. The dates are May the 19th through the 21st. And we're asking that you would pray for the Lord to bless, greatly bless and anoint this event, and pray that the name of Jesus would be lifted up mightily through every moment of that event. So please keep our Spring Share-a-thon in your prayers. Again, those dates, May the 19th through the 21st. And once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And we're continuing to encourage you to email us to get some of the prayer tools we provide. We've been sharing and encouraging you to take or email us for a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer. Please email us to get it. And we're encouraging you to pray that absolutely every day for yourself and your family. And we'd invite you to pray not only for yourself and your family, pray that psalm over our nation and pray it over our world as well, because we serve a big God that can not only bless us and our families, but he can bless our nation and the world as well. So let's be praying much and using that wonderful tool. But also, there are a number of other prayer tools that we provide. One of our prayer tools is entitled Kingdom Prayers, and it has several prayers that either come straight from Scripture or that are based on the Scripture, that are very fruitful prayers to pray to help you to become a much more effective and faithful prayer warrior. And we're challenging and encouraging you to pray them every single day. Once again, to get them, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to send these prayer tools and discipleship tools to you. Today we're looking at a topic. We're just a few days away from Mother's Day. And so today we're looking at the topic of life lessons from mothers of the Bible. And we're focusing, as we start, on the powerful and wonderful story of a young woman that wanted to be a mother named Hannah. We open up now here in 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival also provoked her severely, to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then Elkanah her husband said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? So Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord, and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant, and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked for him from the Lord." Now the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "Not until the child is weaned, then I will take him, that he may appear before the Lord and remain there forever." So Elkanah her husband said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only let the Lord establish his word." Then the woman stayed and nursed her son until she had weaned him. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bulls, 1 ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I'm the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." So they worshiped the Lord there. Verses 1 through 28, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now reading a portion of 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Then Elkanah went to his house at Ramah, but the child ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. That was verses 1 through 11, 1 Samuel chapter 2, and then verses 18 through 21. But Samuel ministered before the Lord even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "The Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord." Then they would go to their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Again, that was 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, and then verses 18 to 21. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the story of Hannah. We thank you, Father, for the powerful truths and insights it teaches us about a young woman who desired and longed to be a mother, and a young woman in whose life you worked. And she came to you in prayer, sought the desire of her heart in prayer, asked you for this precious desire, and you gave it to her. Father, help us to recognize that you call all of us as believers to be people who live lives given to prayer. You call us to ask you for the desires of our heart. You call us to ask for the things that are found in your word that you call us to pursue. Empower us more and more with every passing day to be the praying people, the praying men and women, the praying boys and girls you would have us to be in your church. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer, praise, and worship. Help us to know, Lord, that every day is a critical day for us to be praying and seeking your word and your will, and seeking to be carrying out your will in the world. Help us to know, Lord, that time and time again, the desires in our hearts have been placed there by you, and that you birthed them through our lives of prayer. Teach us to be a people that more and more make prayer the priority you would have it to be. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're looking at a passage that tells the powerful story of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. We'll be right back after this break.
Speaking.
Music of Mandisa, God speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic of life lessons from the mothers of the Bible, and specifically, we're looking at the story, the powerful story in the Word of God of a young mom by the name of Hannah. 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2 contain this powerful story, but again, important truths and insights for us to be mindful of as it relates to learning to give ourselves to prayer. And of course, as we look forward to Mother's Day in a few days, kind of especially wanting to encourage mothers in particular, but actually every believer, mothers and fathers and men and women and boys and girls, we're all called to learn to live lives given to prayer. You know, the Word of God tells us, pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're to live lives full of prayer. Well, again, the powerful story found in 1 Samuel, it's a touching one, but also it's an insightful story of a young wife that wanted to be a mother. She was married to Elkanah, and of course, in that day, sometimes men had more than one wife. And, well, he had two. One wife, Peninnah, had many children, a number of children, but Hannah had not. And Peninnah would make fun of her and taunt her because she was childless, and it caused her grief and anguish in her life. And so she simply had a desire and a dream to be a mother, and specifically she wanted to be the mother of a little boy. Initially she cried and fretted because she was childless, but then she did something very, very wise. She took the time to sincerely go to God in prayer. She went to the temple and prayed for a desire that's in her heart. Well, a very important truth for us as believers to learn is that many, many times in our lives, God will place desires in our heart that He fully intends for us to come to Him and ask Him for those things in prayer. When you pray and ask God for them, time and again, remember, God many times is simply waiting on you to ask Him because He placed the desire there to begin with. Now, keep in mind, that does not mean every desire in your heart is from the Lord, not by any means. The reality is some desires are definitely not from the Lord, but many of them will be desires God has placed in your heart, and His intention is for you to come to Him in prayer and ask Him for that desire, whatever it may be, and He fully intends to give it to you. And it's His will for you to have it, as well as it's your desire that you have it as well. So keep in mind, it's helpful to understand that as you learn to give yourself to prayer and pray and ask God for the desires of your heart, time and time again, not only is it a way that you receive blessings that you desire, but this is how the will of God is carried out and birthed into the world. Father, thank you for the opportunity you give us in your word to seek you in prayer and to bring the desires of our heart to you. Father, you told us in your word, asking you will receive, seeking you will find, knock and the door will be opened. Father, help us to grow tremendously this day, each and every one of us, in the understanding of the fact that we need to pray much in our lives. You call all of us to live lives full of prayer. Teach us and empower us to live that way in the name of Jesus, Lord. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer and intercession. Help us to be people that are more and more learning to take these concerns, these desires, these matters that are on our hearts and our minds to you in prayer. Help us to know, Lord, that worrying about problems doesn't help. Complaining about them doesn't help. Being upset over them doesn't help. But when we learn to bring them to you in prayer and trust you to hear and answer those prayers, that's how we can walk in your peace. And like Hannah, help us to be willing to birth these desires into the world through our prayers in cooperation with your Holy Spirit. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, as we were sharing that, remember, Hannah went to the temple and she asked God for the desire of her heart. She let God know that if he would give her a son, she would dedicate his life back to God. And God heard her prayer and he gave her that which she requested. Hannah asked specifically for a son. Now, some may say, well, should you ask God specifically for a son or a daughter? Shouldn't you just leave it up to him? Well, the fact is you can ask what's on your heart. But now keep in mind, God has the prerogative to say yes or no, but it doesn't hurt to ask what the desire on your heart is. In other words, to ask for it, because many times that specific desire, that too is from the Lord. And of course, in Hannah's case, God wanted her to have a son as well. In fact, the reality is this: God was dealing with too many corrupt religious leaders in that day. Religious leaders who were supposed to be shepherding the flock and guiding and helping and teaching the flock, but were in reality corrupt religious leaders. God wanted a faithful prophet that he could raise up to be a blessing to Israel and a blessing to the world. And he looked and found a young woman that longed to be a mother, who prayed and asked him for a son, and who was willing to dedicate in prayer that child back to the Lord. And when God found that in Hannah, and when Hannah did her part, God did his part. So not only did Hannah receive what she desired, not only did Hannah receive the desire of her heart, God received the desire of his heart as well. Now I want you to think about that. Time and time again, the reason it's so important that we pray about the matters and the concerns that are on our hearts and in our lives is because God, yes, he does want to give you many of the desires of your heart. But many times, as I've said, there were desires that he placed there because they're the desires of his heart as well. So when we do our part, when we pray and seek God and trust him and hear and receive the answers to these kinds of prayers, not only do we get what we want, but God gets what he wants as well. God raised up the mighty prophet Samuel, who was the last of the judges, but he became one of the great prophets of the Old Testament who God used mightily. And Samuel too, like his mom, was a prayer warrior, a great man of prayer, as we find as we read in scripture as well. And so God did a mighty work through Hannah as she prayed for the desire of her heart. Now keep in mind this short yet powerful story of a young wife and mother named Hannah, as I mentioned, has many life lessons in it. And I want you to notice how she, not only did she pray, and of course, when you have time, I want to invite you to go back and read the whole passage of 1 Samuel chapter 1 again, because if you read through it, and then you read through it again, and you read through it a third or fourth time, as you keep reading through it, you will find that God will speak to you mightily through the passage, not only sharing this wonderful and powerful story, but God is going to teach you things about your own prayer life. Again, remember, Hannah was upset and concerned and felt bad about the fact that she didn't have children at this point in time and had been a wife of a number of years. But it wasn't until she prayed that the answer came. How often is it that you and I sometimes have problems that we sadly will worry over, be concerned over, but just we haven't taken the time to pray and ask God for his help? There's so many areas in the lives of believers who they are worried over and concerned over and lose sleep over, but just haven't given to God in prayer. We need to be wise enough to pray. Father, stir us to recognize, Lord, that we need to live in a prayer mode all the time, because there's so many things that we need to pray about. Help us to be wise enough to spend the time in prayer. In fact, Lord, teach us how to pray without ceasing, to cover much ground in prayer every single day. Help us, Lord, to be wise enough to spend, as the song says, sweet hour of prayer. Teach us how to take the time to spend an hour or more a day in concentrated prayer, where we set that time aside from all other things and go into our prayer closet and seek you for the concerns that are upon our hearts and our minds. Help us to recognize, Lord, that believers that are wise enough to do that accomplish great things, not only in their own lives, but they accomplish great things in the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to do this. And thank you again for the example of Hannah. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I'd like to point out an important truth in this chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'm going to read the last portion of the chapter once again, and I want you to really listen to what the Lord is saying to us through it. Starting at verse 24, 1 Samuel 1, 24. Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bulls, one ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered a bull and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I'm the woman who stood by you here, praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there. Now, some parents that are listening may be thinking to themselves, you know, I didn't really pray for my child before he or she got here, and I wish I had. Well, the fact is, no matter what age your child is, it's never too late to pray for them. And the fact is, the hand of God can begin to work in their lives in a greater way as you begin to pray and intercede. And remember, it's the job of every parent to pray for your child all their life long. Obviously, we should pray for them before they get here. We should pray for them when they're in the womb. We should pray for them when they're born. We should pray for them when they're toddlers and as they grow, go into elementary school, middle school. And you definitely need to pray for them when they're in high school and then in college, if they go to college. But in adulthood, you know, sometimes parents may make the big mistake of thinking, well, my job is done, they're grown and they're adults now. Well, in many ways, your job is just getting started. You need to desperately pray for them as adults as well. And remember, no one will pray for your child like you will as a father or a mother. So it's important that you pray and give them to the Lord. Well, here, like Hannah, I want to challenge and encourage you. I want to challenge and encourage you to do what Hannah did. She lent her son to the Lord. Verse 28 again says, therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he should be lent to the Lord. So they worship the Lord there. In other words, she decided to lend her son to God for all his life. Well, you know what? Dads and moms, you can do the same thing with your children no matter what age they may be. Basically, you have grace and authority in the lives of your children. So you can basically pray a prayer like this. In fact, I want to take a moment to pray it and invite you to pray the same thing for your children. Lord, thank you for the children you've entrusted to us. Lord, today, we lend our children afresh into your hands. We place them in your hands and give them to you. Lord, use them mightily for your glory. And all their life long, they will be lent to you. Thank you, Father, for how that you can see them as your property. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Now, you may ask, why is that important? Because remember, if you lend your children to God, God has a claim on them. And that's a very wise thing to do. And again, as I said, though Hannah was wise enough to do it before she ever even conceived the child, you can do that for your child at any age. And we're wise to do it because there's no better place for our children to be than in the center of God's will. Father, Lord, today, we place our children afresh in the center of your will. Father, we thank you for how that your grace is at work in their lives. Flood their lives with your spirit, mercy, and grace, even now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, direct them so that more and more they walk in all the call of God upon their lives with every passing day in Jesus' name. More and more, let the Holy Spirit be at work mightily in their lives, guiding them, directing them, molding them, and shaping them into that which you'd have them to be. Father, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful example of Hannah, who was wise enough to lend her son to you. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to do the same thing. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercessions. We're today looking at the topic of life lessons from mothers of the Bible, and we're looking specifically at the life of Hannah in 1 Samuel. We'll be right back. From Commission, Secret Place. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic of life lessons from mothers of the Bible, and specifically we're looking at the mother, Hannah, the mother of Samuel in the Old Testament, found in 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. And again, I would challenge and encourage you, take time to go back and read those chapters and read about Hannah. Again, many important lessons about prayer we can learn from Hannah. And as I'd mentioned too, not only was Hannah a woman of prayer, as we find in Scripture, but Samuel, the son that she bore, did grow up to become one of the great prophets of the Old Testament. And he too was a great prayer warrior. And if you read about Samuel's life, you find that his prayer life powerfully affected and blessed the nation of Israel. And so Hannah helped to share a prayer legacy. Not only did she live to be a great woman of prayer, but in turn, her son grew up to become a great man of prayer as well, and a great prophet of God in the Word of God. Well, again, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, we looked at the initial portion about Hannah's life, but I want to encourage you to keep in mind too that, remember, the Word of God tells us, seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Remember this, God's way is the best way to do anything. And how do we learn God's way? We learn God's way from His Word. The Word of God is the will of God. If you want to know what God's will is, you read and meditate on His Word, because the Word of God is the will of God 100% of the time and under all circumstances. So reading and meditating on the Word of God will help you know His will and help you to live His will as you hear and obey His Word. Well, Hannah prayed for the desire that was on her heart. She asked God for a son. God heard and answered her prayer. She lent her son to the Lord. And again, as I mentioned, my challenge to you is, in prayer today, dads and moms, lend your children to God. Let God know that you're placing them, whether it's for the first time or placing them a second or maybe many times, placing them or rededicating them to the Lord. You can't actually do that too many times. Well, in chapter 2, it does point out Hannah spends some time praising, worshiping, and thanking God for the fact that He heard and answered her prayer and gave her the son that she asked for. And so I'm going to read again Hannah's prayer and pray words of prayer and praise and worship. Chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, starting at verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne 7, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap, to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Again, that was verses 1 through 10, 1 Samuel chapter 2. Again, this was Hannah's prayer and praise and worship after she has borne Samuel. Now, keep in mind, in this story, we find the wonderful principle, the wonderful truth in the Word of God that tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "Seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." As the story began in 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah was a young wife that had no children, but she longed to have a son. And so she sought first God's kingdom. She sought the will of God. And she asked God if God would give her a son, she would dedicate him back to the Lord. And so God heard her prayer, blessed her with a son, and she did just what she said. She dedicated her son back to the Lord. She took Samuel, and picture how hard this probably was. Remember, she's a young mom, and she just born this precious son, but she brings him and leaves him to grow up in the temple. But keep in mind, there's a critically important truth behind this. He literally grew up in the temple under the guidance and the counsel of the priest there. The priest was, of course, Eli, and he was basically groomed to be the priest by Eli. But keep in mind, he grew up in the temple. Well, that too should be the goal for every parent, that our children would grow up in the temple, that is, grow up in the house of God, or in other words, to grow up in the presence of God, the place where God is to be worshiped and served. The fact is, we're wise to not only commit and lend our children to God, but we need to teach and train them to be the godly boys and godly girls that God wants to be, with the goal of them growing up to become godly men and godly women. One of the ways, parents, we do that is that we disciple our children faithfully at home. Not only should we dedicate them to the Lord, but we should teach them to pray and pray with them every single day. Teach them to read the Word of God and have them to read God's Word every day. Something I pretty regularly do on the broadcast is challenge parents to have your young children to read the Word of God out loud to you every single day. I specifically encourage 3 chapters a day. The reason being is that's a good spiritual meal. And remember this, nothing will bless your children like the Word of God. So if you want to, in that sense, help your children grow up in the temple of God, or in other words, grow up in the presence of God, help them to read the Word of God every day. Remember, as they're reading the Word of God, they're interacting with Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God, and when you read God's Word, you're interacting and listening to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And remember, when you're reading the Word of God, God is touching you. He's pouring grace into your mind, your heart, and your life. He's blessing you. He's edifying you. He's encouraging you as well. And so when our children are reading God's Word, God's grace and His Spirit is working in their hearts and their minds in a wonderful way. So just as Samuel grew up in the temple, parents, let's help our children to grow up in the house of God as well. Let your home be a house of God, where the Word of God is a prevalent part of the life of your whole family. Reading God's Word together as a family every day it takes some doing, but you know, it's more than worth it. And remember this, when people try to say, well, that's just too hard. No, we do what we want to do. The reality is many times, many families spend a lot of time watching entertainment, and there may be a time and a place for that, of course. But remember, nothing will bless your family like the powerful and precious Word of God. So having your children read out loud is a very wise thing to do every single day. Well, chapter 2 began with Hannah's words of praise, prayer, and thanksgiving to God, and expressing her worship to the Lord. Well, that too should be a part of your life at home. Taking time to pray and to praise and worship God, husband, wife, and children together, that's such a wise thing to do. And remember this, there's no such thing as being too grateful. You can't thank God enough for His goodness. And you know, we live in a world where we are so blessed. We are so blessed. God runs our cup over in so many ways every day. He's given us eternal life and health and strength and homes to live in and the opportunity to know Him and to serve Him. So many blessings that are ours, yet sadly, too often people are so quick to focus on what they don't have, what's not going right, what isn't the way they'd want it to be. And we miss out on so much, because the fact is, a genuinely grateful person, a person that lives a lifestyle of giving thanks and praise and glory to the Lord, is in the truest sense of the word, a rich person. Because all of life is a gift. God literally runs our cup over every day, and giving thanks and praise is to be a big part of our lives, because it teaches us that God really is wonderfully good to us absolutely every day of our lives. So there's no such thing as praising and thanking and worshiping God too much. So as we see the worship of Hannah here, it blesses and encourages us. Well, verses 18 through 21 remind us of the fact that because Hannah sought first the kingdom of God, all these things were added to her as well. God blessed her wonderfully because she put God first. Again, the principle in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Notice again the wonderful results of Hannah's serving God and putting Him first. Again, verses 18 through 21, but Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, the Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord. Then they would go to their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. So notice the story starts out a young wife who had no children and longed to have a son. Well, she was wise enough to dedicate that child back to the Lord. And God heard her prayer, blessed her with a son, and she did what she said she would do. She dedicated her son back to the service of the Lord. And God blessed her wonderfully beyond that as well. goes on to say that Hannah later conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. So all in all, she apparently had four sons and two daughters. And so she sought first God's kingdom, and God blessed her wonderfully beyond that. And so all of us are called to seek first the kingdom of God. God is to be first. Our challenge is seek to really live for the Lord passionately for Him. Every day is a day to do what the Great Commission says, go into all the world and make disciples. All of us are called to be involved in the wonderful work of evangelism, sharing the gospel with others, giving out gospel tracts, telling people your testimony of how you got saved, or encouraging people and as you share how God has answered your prayer. But every day being a bright shining witness for Jesus is important. Also be a disciple maker, one who encourages others in their growth in the Lord, their obedience to God, encouraging them to fulfill all God's call in their life. Seek first God's kingdom. Seek to honor Him in your home. Pray in your home every day. Read the Word in your home with your family every day. Obey God in your home every day. All of these are so, so important. So again, some wonderful lessons we can learn from Hannah, the young wife who longed to be a mother in 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. Go back and read and meditate on these chapters. There's so much the Lord can and will teach you through them. Lord, thank you once again for the wonderful example of Hannah, a young wife that longed to be a mother. Thank you for how that you teach us that as we seek you in prayer, that your will can be birthed into the world through our prayer lives. Help us to live daily a lifestyle of praying and birthing your will day after day into the world as we simply pray for the desires you place in our hearts and receive those answers. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession again. We're looking at the topic of life lessons from mothers of the Bible and looking specifically at the mother Hannah in 1 Samuel chapters 1 and 2. When you take time to read those chapters, it'll bless you a lot. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.